Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
What if your emotions aren't random, but powerful archetypes moving through you, trying to heal, protect, or awaken something deeper? Today's conversation is going to shift the way you see your emotions completely. Because what if the anger, the fear, the overwhelm isn't something to fix or suppress, but something to understand? I'm joined again by the incredible Ina Segal. She's an internationally acclaimed intuitive healer and best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body. And her work has helped millions understand that our emotions are not just reactions, they're intelligent messages, often connected to deeper archetypal patterns within us. So in this episode, we're diving into archetypes and emotions, how these patterns shape our behaviors, influence our healing, and how learning to work with them can unlock a whole new level of awareness, balance, and self-mastery. Today, we're diving into archetypes. Let's just start with, what are archetypes and how do they show up in our emotional world?
So essentially, archetypes represent our patterns. So they are representations of our deepest patterns in relation to both our emotions and our ancestry. So what have we seen as we were growing up? And then how did we embody that and absorb this is essentially what archetypes become. So we have general archetypes that most people can recognize. So when we say, oh my God, she's acting like a child, we all know what that means, right? So it's like they represent this cumulative experience of humanity. And, you know, when we say, I feel like a victim, or this person has been victimized, again, we understand what this means. What we don't necessarily understand is how these archetypes evolve, how they affect us, which parts of the body they are connected to, which, I guess, in what way are they holding us back? You know, we don't realize that we have this internal, I guess it is an internal family system, an internal way where there's different parts of us that start to express themselves. And so very often we'll say things like, I'm afraid, instead of, hold on a sec, let me take a moment and recognize, is it all of me? Is the adult part of me afraid, or is it the younger part, or is it maybe the feminine or the masculine part of me? So by recognizing which parts, which ages, which parts of the body they're connected to, and essentially, not just that, what is the storyline that this archetype keep telling me? We start to have an opportunity for change and for growth. But essentially, most people, what they do is that they break down, you know, their belief and thought patterns, their emotions, their actions or behaviors, but they don't necessarily put it all together and go, hold on. When Jung, and I know some people call him Jung, but I don't know, in Australia, we call him Jung. So I'll go with that. When Jung originally brought his kind of psychological theory, he was looking at how people kept expressing themselves that was connected to both everyone and their own families. And, you know, he started to identify these patterns in terms of archetypes, because archetypes, as I already mentioned, have a story. They have kind of like a foundation that they believe, as opposed to, I can just change my mind, I can change my thought. An archetype gives you, it's like a skeleton of what it's all about, right? So it's like, it shows you the depth of what the issue is and everything that's connected to it, as opposed to, you know, just one tiny aspect. So I hope that made sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. I feel like certain emotional patterns sometimes feel so familiar. Is that like an archetype. Like, I feel like sometimes I feel like I've lived it over and over and over and over again.
Well, it could be. And so if we started to break this down, it could be an archetype of a procrastinator, for instance, where people just keep putting things off, right? And they get into patterns where when something uncomfortable shows up in their lives, they go, okay, I'm going to put this off. I'm going to push this to the side, and I'm not going to deal with this because it's uncomfortable. It's not what I want to do. And I think we all do it to some degree. You know, some people do it, you know, in relation to their work or their career. Other people do it in relation to their in their relationships. Other people, when it comes to their tax, you know, or, you know, paperwork, or when they want to write a book. So we all have, you know, something that we put off, right? We go, I'm going to do this later. You know, I'm healing.
Yeah. Me that's cost you with my taxes, so you're calling me out right now. But it felt like it was powerful, though. That energy was so powerful. It was like keeping me stuck. It was like every time I would go to do it, there was a reason why I didn't do it. I kept putting it off and off and off until it was so big that it started like affecting my body and my nervous system. Like, so it's so interesting to me that, you know, these things can control the way we act, and it felt impossible to break through. So that's why I'm saying that, like, joking, not joking. It was powerful.
It literally takes over you. It's the same with, you know, reactivity, self-sabotage. You know, I've seen it so often with people that I work with where, you know, they have this, you know, I guess this foundation of what makes them safe and unsafe. And this absolutely comes to the inner child meets the feminine inside them. So they feel very, very comfortable, and they'll be, you know, putting everything, you know, that I do and everything that I've taught them, sometimes on a pedestal, sometimes kind of amplifying it. And then one thing, one word, the tone, you know, somebody that is potentially not even related says something to them, and that's it. And, you know, and now it's the complete opposite. And this is, as I said, you know, this is the child meets the feminine, because both of them are all about safety. And so the child part just has a meltdown and goes, I can't deal with this, because, you know, in some way, this putting somebody on a pedestal is making them your parent in a way, making them that, you know, perfect parent you didn't have. And so they do that, and then it's like, hold on, but you do this, or your company does this, or you know, or that happened, or that person that was, you know, one of the helpers in an event did that. And it's like, you know, it's like they want to control everything, because when they were children, they couldn't. And, you know, and so they become, you know, this very, very controlling person that literally falls apart when things are not going exactly their way. And this is so important for us to recognize within ourselves, when does the child take over? And very often it is connected to trauma. And I know in my experience, you know, when I met my partner, I remember there were times where we would be driving and I would hear this voice in my head, and the voice would go, I can't do this. This is not right. I don't want to do this. This is, you know, and nothing would have happened. And I remember thinking to myself, because I've been through such a traumatic situation with somebody else, you know, I need to separate the voice of the child in me that's saying, hey, I'm too afraid, I can't, because of the trauma before, to the wise part of me that is saying, okay, hold on, let's discern this. You under threat. What's really happening? Why do you feel like this? Right? And this, again, often happens when we have had a massive trauma, and actually recognizing what is the voice, where is it coming from, allows that wise part of you to be in charge. And so then, instead of, like you were saying, Lisa, being taken over, there is a part of you that is saying, hold on, something or some part of me feels really unsafe. I need to slow down. And the way that I talk about it or teach this is, by placing your hands on a part of your body where you feel it, you start to give comfort to that part of you and you start to reconnect with it and go, what is it that you are really feeling, saying, experiencing? Let's look at that. Let's work with that. Let's try to understand this rather than suppress and push down like most people do and then run away.
Yeah, 100%. Not to be difficult. No, it's awareness is the first part because we become so used to these patterns. And so I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but I'm so self-aware. So I'm able to recognize these things and I'm like, I can beat this. I know how to, I need to change this somehow. How can I fix this? And so once we start to work with these archetypes and learn what they mean and relate them to our life, I feel like that's how we can live with them without being controlled by them.
Well, absolutely. And what actually happens is that they grow. And when I said it's like a skeleton, what I'm saying, it's like a foundation that gives you an awareness of how does that part of your psyche, if we want to call it that, operate? So because that part of you got stunted, what is it really thinking and believing that is not necessarily helpful to you right now? So I can give one of the biggest examples, and we spoke about this in our last session, about money, right? For most people, there is certain archetypes that operate around money, and they're actually connected both to the child and to the prostitute archetype. So some of them are connected to that first 21 years of your life where you were living with your family members or whoever you were living with, where whatever they believed about money, whatever they believed about success, whatever they believed about what is possible or not possible, you absorbed, right? So you literally just absorbed it. Now, that gave birth to a particular perspective inside of you. And so you can try and do all sorts of processes to change your mind, to change your emotions. But unless you're actually identifying what is the point of view of this, let's say, child archetype or this prostitute archetype, you will not change your perspective enough to really align with something new. So you'll be constantly going back and back and back into this poverty type thinking. And I mean, there are different layers and levels of this because there's agreements that we've made that we can also work with. But I find that when I teach my deepest work, especially in a course that I teach called Awaken the Healer Within, even when we work with other processes, like a process for recognizing that, you know what, at some point I made an agreement. An agreement could be anything like, I'm not going to be like my mom. I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm never going to allow money to affect me, or money is bad, or whatever it is. And we do this when we've been ignored and neglected. And this agreement operates, but it operates through their archetype. And so I always connect archetypes where they need to be worked with. And that's really, really important, you know, because it changes how you feel and how you see yourself. Because as you start the work, you may see this archetype looking down, hiding. I've even seen people where this child part of them literally has an aspect of their heart hanging out, or their knees hurt, or another part of them is hurt. And they show up in your kind of inner awareness in this way to demonstrate to you how healthy or unhealthy this part of you is. So when you actually start to go, okay, I'm going to pay attention to you, I'm going to work with you, I'm going to help you, then this part starts to grow and you actually feel different. There's been so many times where I've done deep work on my inner child at a particular age, and we need to talk about the 7-year cycles in relation to this as well. And I would see it grow and be so happy and joyful. Whereas when we started, it wasn't even looking at me. It was, you know, maybe lying on the ground or something was happening that was making this part of me feel uncomfortable, frightened, you know, lost, at a loss, whatever it was. And then through this connection, which doesn't happen through one experience, right? It happens through you taking whatever the time you need to take to allow this part to grow through communicating with it, listening to it, writing to it, you know, whatever the process that you use. And, you know, and when this part ends up growing, it works with you and you internally feel a sense of lightness, a sense of peace, a sense of like, okay, I'm in flow, or things are okay, I'm safe, right? So it internally changes your nervous system, changes your digestive system, changes how you feel on a very, very deep level without having to constantly be doing something, because your perspective has transformed. And that part of you feels like you, as the parent, as an adult, have embraced it.
Interesting. There was a point where I was doing like a lot of inner work. And I remember when I was seeing, and now the way you describe it, it makes me feel like it was a similar experience. So what I was seeing, a part of me, but I wasn't able to see her face. And so what I was seeing was almost like the mirror image of myself, but it was the back of her head. So when I would try and look at myself, it was me in a mirror, but I could never see her face. And as I started working on more and more healing, eventually she turned around. And is that an example of like facing a pattern, changing a pattern, ending a cycle? What would that represent according to the work that you do?
Well, what it represented originally, obviously I don't know the full context, is that she felt unheard. And she was turning, you know, away from you because you were not listening or hearing her. But when she turned around back towards you, she's actually saying, hey, okay, I'm being seen, I'm being heard. Now we can start to really connect.
Beautiful.
You know, which, yeah, changes things. Did you feel like there was a change?
Yeah, I just got really excited the day that she turned around. And I felt like it was like an inner, like I'm seeking, and I was wanting that connection of inner love and like self-love. And she turned around and I was like, it brought tears to my eyes. And I got really excited. And I said to one of my friends, I'm like, I can finally look at myself in the mirror from that perspective in that spiritual way. So I did. It felt intense. It felt like a milestone, but then it's always the next thing, right? There's always more evolving. And so, yeah, it's quite interesting. It also brought upon new challenges. And so what I found was that I looked her in the eye, but now it's like, all right, I can see you. I love you. I see you. I feel your emotions. And now we're moving on to the next thing that we need to conquer together. So then new challenges came. It's like you peak on the mountain and then you start climbing again. It was like a new thing starting. I want to ask you this. When someone feels intense emotions like fear, anger, or sadness, is there anything that might be pointing to beneath the surface in terms of these archetypes?
Well, absolutely. So we'd have to break each one down. And I also want to come back to what you just mentioned about new levels. So if we're looking
like a video game, unlocking new levels, like that's what it feels like.
Yeah. If we're looking at sadness, you know, a lot of the time, sadness is one of those feelings that people really don't like. It's grief, sadness, they're very uncomfortable with it. So they would prefer to suppress it and feel anger than to feel vulnerability and sadness, because sadness opens you up into feelings that, like I said, are very uncomfortable and that are shamed. We actually, in our society, we shame anything that looks weak, because to most people, somebody crying, somebody kind of losing their center looks weakened.
Sent home from work when I worked in the office in corporate land, and I cried, and they're like, go home. How awful is that? You know?
Yeah. Because you know, what we, again, if we look at sadness and the archetypes that are connected to it, and again, there's many, but I'm just using the ones that are experienced by everyone, right, that are shared with all of humanity. So if we're looking at an archetype of the feminine, for instance, the feminine, which shows feelings, shows emotions, that understands that part of herself. And again, you could be in a male body and experience this. And I don't mean in a male body and have transitioned. I mean, like, be a man as well and have these feminine feelings, in a sense of feel a sadness, I feel a softness, I feel like crying, I feel helpless or hopeless in this moment, I feel a loss. And, you know, by expressing it, we actually transform it. But because, like I said, we live in a society that thinks this is a failure, this is shameful. I mean, we see it from childhood, so it's also connected to the inner child archetype. And we see somebody go, don't cry, it's okay. Well, why is it okay? Sometimes it's not okay. You know, there are times in your life where things do feel like they're falling apart and doesn't feel okay. So we actually learn to self-protect. And instead of feeling sadness, we're not allowed to feel sadness, so we're going to feel anger instead. We're going to push this down, which then moves it out of, let's say, the inner child, and it can move it into the saboteur archetype. It can move it into the victim. It can move it into the prostitute archetype. It can move it into the masculine inside of you, where you hold on to everything. You're not flexible inside of yourself because emotions allow internal flexibility. And again, you know, I'm not saying that you should kind of swim and indulge in the sadness, because there's the other side where people do indulge it. But what I'm saying is that when we recognize which part of me is holding on to the sadness or feeling it, and maybe I need to be kinder to this part, maybe I need to hold it, maybe we need to understand each other, maybe that this can give me an insight into what is it that I didn't handle or deal with earlier in life. Because one of the things, Lisa, that I've seen, for instance, is that, let's say you had a loss and, you know, people have lost a parent or a sibling or, you know, a friend or a grandparent, and we all have this. But maybe this happened earlier in life and they were living with somebody else. And I think I was speaking to somebody very recently where we were discussing this, where his parents separated and his mother basically did not talk about his father's death. And he was not allowed to show any of his feelings and express any of it, which then leads to anger, which leads to issues with the liver and the gallbladder.
Right.
And when I said to him, all right, did this happen around age of 13 or 14? And he said, oh my God, it did. Wow. Now he's dealing with some pretty intense health conditions, and he's, I think, in his 50s or like 50s or something like that. Things that seeds that were put into your body based on these archetypes earlier in life will eventually sprout, and usually not what you want unless you have changed it and transformed it. So this is why it's so important you become educated, right? People see it's not as okay, something to look at later in my life, or maybe, you know, it's too complex, but to actually understand that right now, as we speak in our society, we have more people with mental and emotional, I'm going to say mental and emotional because people, it's not just mental ever, challenges and illness than we've ever had, which tells us that our nervous system, our, you know, our thinking center, our feeling center, our will centers are not handling what is coming at us. And this way of doing emotional work is so much more gentle than direct emotional work, you
Right.
know, because when you work on an emotion directly, you don't know where is the beginning, where is the middle, where is the end, where is the transformation. You have no idea because that's not
Yep.
how emotions work. But the archetypes will show you that.
Interesting. So what are some of the most common archetypes? And just so the audience can understand the examples, I know you mentioned some, and what are the emotional patterns that are tied to them? And I just wanted to remind you that you did want to go back on what I said about different stages.
Yeah. So let's go to stages first and then remind me of this question.
Okay.
So first of all, we work in 7-year cycles. So every 7 years, things shift in terms of how we understand life, wisdom, it's like our whole body changes within 7 years. But when we have a foundation, right, which is in our first 21 years of life, the first 7 years of life is all about the physical body and the physical body growing and hopefully growing in the right way and being healthy. Excuse me.
I'm just calculating my age. I'm just ending another 7-year cycle. So are you saying that it goes 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42? Those are cycles that we go through and on and on?
Yeah, exactly. After the age of 21, we are repeating cycles. So from 21, we will start to repeat a cycle that was connected to when we were potentially children. And whatever we were not able to process or deal with, like I was saying, you know, a loss of somebody, that grief, will show up in the cycle between 21 and 28. And this is why I've heard people say, you know, I had really bad headaches when I was 13, 14, and then they went away and then they started again at 21. Because there is a
thinking
repeat,
that someone
right?
I know just went through something that they used to have when they were young and it just resurfaced. And he's in his 60s. I'm having a pattern, health pattern, come back and repeat itself as well. That's fascinating.
Well, absolutely. And it happens every year. Some other pattern shows up. And as you get older, it shows up both in the first 21 years and then the next kind of, you know, cycle of 21 years. So you're repeating, you know, you're repeating, you're repeating, you're repeating. So you could be repeating, depends on your age, one pattern or several patterns. And usually they're big patterns. They're quite big. So you might be going, okay, like you were saying, Lisa, now I've worked on this part of my inner child. And as you have next part that you hadn't worked on while you were a child, because you couldn't because you were a child,
yeah,
now showing up. You know, I know a few years ago, I woke up one day and I was like, wow, I'm having an intense anxiety around, you know, around the work that I'm doing and the people that I'm working with. And I don't really know what this is about. I don't consciously know what it's about. So I ended up exploring and I knew the time period because you need to learn how to calculate this and so on. So I knew the time period. I went and calculated it and I was repeating something that happened when I was 3. Right. And obviously we don't necessarily have a conscious memory of it. So because we don't, this is where archetypes come in. So I connected to I think it was between 3 and 4, to this archetype of my younger self. And what I saw was, you know, there was this image of my mom sitting and crying on the couch. At that point, my dad had gone to another state and he was away for, I think, 3 or 4 months. And she was crying and I was trying to merge with her and to save her and to help her. And then because I couldn't, because you can't as a 3 or a 4-year-old, there was this intense perspective, because I'm going to say it was more than a belief. It was a perspective that I took on. And the perspective was failed to help my mom, you know, to feel better. So how can I help others? How can I truly help others? Of course, I'm going to then start attracting people that, you know, on some level, I can't help, they can't be helped, whatever it is. And there's going to be those feelings that show up, but they don't necessarily show up throughout your whole life. They show up in that cycle that you're working with, because now you are older, wiser, stronger, and ready to transform, you know, and reparent those parts of yourself.
So the patterns will show up again, but perhaps they're shorter lived, or they're, you're finally able to resolve them. Is that essentially why they're repeating, until you can develop enough strength to work through them finally? I'm literally trying to make myself feel better that this pattern I'm in is going to resolve itself, because it did before. But that's interesting. Is that what that essentially means?
Well, it does. The opportunities that internally you have a conflict. That's what inflammation is all about, an internal conflict. So your system is intelligent, it's wise, and it's constantly connecting to you and going, are you strong enough to see this? Are you aware enough to see this? Do you have enough internal flexibility to see this and change this? Can you see whatever's happening as an opportunity for this change or this transformation or not? And so I think that when you do, you have choice. Essentially, it always comes back to the same thing. You now have a choice, which you did not have prior to this awareness and connection and understanding of how to work with these parts of yourself.
Interesting. So how do these emotional archetypes show up in the body in terms of, like you were saying, they can show up in different ways? How are different ways that they show up in the body?
So they'll show up as intense anxiety and fear, where you just go, oh my God, I'm so afraid of something and I don't know why. And again, if I can give an example, I remember years ago when I wanted to go to America and to promote my book, and I had never been. And so I was going there without the experience of knowing what areas are safe, what areas are unsafe to go to. And in Australia, we don't have guns. So I was hearing, especially about New York and all these different experiences that people had had with having a gun, pointed at their head. And I was freaking out. And one day that anxiety, which was actually in the pit of my stomach, so intense that I went, okay, I'm going to connect to what this is about. And I saw my inner child and she was literally shaking. And I said to her, okay, what is this about? And she said, well, I'm going to, I think it was like 10 or 12 cities, and I don't know people in most of these cities. And what if I'm just lost and alone and someone, you know, and I go to the wrong place or the wrong area and somebody puts a gun in my head? I'm having a meltdown. And so I kind of, as the adult self who heard this, I went, okay, well, I'm really hearing you. Let's find a solution, because I can't live like this. You know, and I was constantly running to the toilet. Like, it was intense as well, you know, in that physical way. I was like, I'm going to call my publisher and I'm going to say to them, hey, this is my first time. Is it possible for you to help me find people that can show me around, that can, you know, maybe I can stay with them, or maybe they can just go with me to different places. You know, is that a possibility? You know, do you have access to people like that? And they said, absolutely, we do. We can definitely organize this for you. We want you to feel safe. We understand how you're feeling. And within moments of having this conversation with my publisher, that energy of anxiety, of the tension, completely released. And I ended up having this amazing trip. But, you know, had I not listened, I think that it could have been disastrous. And so I actually think that listening to these parts of you that can show up. It can show up in your heart where you're about to sabotage something, and you know inside of yourself that this is something, like you were saying earlier, Lisa, this is something that is your pattern. This is something you've done before. And when you actually work with a saboteur, you start to go, oh, I know you. I know how you function. As opposed to that, there is a wise self, because each archetype has a shadow self and it has the so-called light self, or the part that is wise and enlightened in that way. And when you start to separate them and understand them, the wise part, the lighter part, will go, hey, this person is actually not good for you in terms of relationships. There is no way to make this work. Or this career move is not good for you. And it won't come from the saboteur and the fear. It will come from this wisdom and intuition, because again, our intuition is within a heart, it's within a gut, it's within a third eye, it's within a sacral, it's within so many parts of us, it's within the liver in a different way. Unless we can separate and go, hold on, is this the voice of my intuition, which is the wise part of me recognizing something, or is this the voice of the shadow part, which is still my intuition, but it's just asking me to learn how to discern. And that is what adulthood is about. It's learning to discern.
It's interesting. So in the situation you talked about, the example you gave of the fear that showed up for you and the anxiety, and you sat with it and you related it to, you said it had to be to do with your publishing trip. If you would have sat with that and not made an action, or if, like, how did you deal with it right away? I guess my question is, if we leave these feelings and we don't find the source of them, and then we resolve them, can it affect the body for a while? Like, is it normal, or is it common for that feeling to dissipate as soon as you resolve the issue? Or is that because you're like, no, I know this, I need to deal with it, and you handled it right away?
In my experience, the longer you ignore it, the more you will have a health issue. And this could be anything from, I had a client who, I think someone in the family died and there was a will, and there was a fight, let's just say, around this will, and she could not talk to her family. And I remember the first moment when I tuned into her, I could see her throat and it was inflamed. And I said to her, you know, have you been having throat issues for a while? And she said, yeah, I have. And, you know, I said to her, I'm seeing all the members of your family fighting and arguing with each other. And, you know, no one's coming to a conclusion around, you know, some situation. She said, yeah, this is to do with the will. And, you know, I'm the one who's meant to have this house, but, you know, there's all these issues going on. And it was like, okay, so in the throat area, we have this communicator archetype. And when you shut it down, it turns in on itself. And so you can have anything from thyroid issues, which can, you know, create massive hormonal challenges, to, you know, constantly getting sick and losing your voice, to people who actually have, you know, throat cancer and other things. Depends on how long that has been shut down. And also, you know, your genetics, from the perspective of which part of your body are weakened, because we're all born with certain aspects that are weaker than others, and which part of your body are really strong, that even though you're kind of attacking it and you're suppressing it and you're, you know, doing all these things, it still keeps, you know, cleansing, because the body's just incredible and working well for you.
Yeah, amazing. That makes a lot of sense. So we're intelligent. We know when something is out of balance. How do we work with these archetypes instead of essentially feeling like they're controlling us?
Well, first of all, we have to become interested, and we, you know, we have to start to go, there is me and there are other parts of me. And we have to understand that during various stages of life, when somebody shouted at us, when somebody got angry with us, when somebody was mean or nasty to us, there were parts that were shut down, or they, because of the perspective that they took, they now operate within you without you being conscious of why you do what you do, right? And you need to, with the help of somebody usually, you know, so if you're completely new at this, you will need someone's help, you know, to guide you through it. It's not necessarily something that you can totally do yourself before, you know, before knowing what it is. But the way that you could start this yourself is through something like writing. So you, if you're open to journaling or writing, you know, you could go, okay, let me place my hands on a particular part of my body, breathe into it. And if I had to recognize what this feeling or belief was about, what would it be? And if I could connect to a particular age in terms of myself where I first started to feel this, that I remember and recognize at this point, because you've got to start slow, what would it be, and allow that age to come. And if I could see myself at that age with the beliefs, perspectives and feelings that I'm carrying, would I appear really strong and happy? Would I be sad? Would I be angry? Would I be hurt? Like, what does this part of me look like? So you allow yourself to create that image. Eventually it just shows up for you. So you start to tune in more than create it. And then you might go, okay, if I could communicate with this part of myself, then what would this part say? You know, and you start having a conversation with this part where you go, you know, what are you feeling? Why are you feeling this? What is the perspective that you have on life right now for me? What happened to you? You know, how can I help and support you to grow? And so you start to create a relationship with this part. And again, you can journal it. You can potentially have this conversation. But ideally, when you're starting this work, you either go to a workshop, and again, I have many like that where we learn about this and work with these archetypes. In fact, most of the courses that I teach have an aspect of archetypal work in it. Or you might work with somebody one-on-one and they directly guide you. But I think that at the beginning, the idea is to become conscious of this and to separate that. And the way that I have done it has been through just doing thousands and thousands of healing sessions with people, as well as teaching for the last, I think it's now getting to 25 to over 25 years, and actually seeing these archetypes show up and take over people, where somebody just becomes more childlike. And no matter how much you're explaining something to them, they're in the child or the teenager. And during that period of time, you absolutely cannot get through to them. One of the experiences I've had with my son was that, you know, for some of the time, as he was growing up in that first 21 years, he didn't live with me. He lived with his father, and his father has a very, very strong victim archetype, which is how it can also get passed on. So my son absorbed that, and this affects your solar plexus. So it affects your digestive system. And he's struggled with, again, with certain aspects of his digestive system for a while. Every time, and then he, at around 19, he came back and was living with me for a while during COVID. During that time, there were moments where he would just go into this victim state, and I would try and have a conversation with him, and it was impossible, because literally everything that I would suggest or say, he would say, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Right. And that's something that I also recognize, that when somebody's deeply entrenched in the child or the victim, there's actually no point having deep conversations with them. But there is a point in getting to understand yourself and understand, wow, when I get into this victim state, I don't listen to anything. I can't listen to anything or anyone. I become aggressive. When I get into this, you know, childlike or teenage-like state, then, you know, I become reactive, or, you know, I just keep repeating the same thing over and over again and I act things out, you know, or I want to drink alcohol, whatever it is, you know, that shows up for people based on whatever they've experienced. So I think it's, you know, it's very, very important to start to discern and recognize by going, is this the adult wise me, or is there a part of me that is hurting, right?
Mm.
You know, and
so interesting.
Where in my body is it, and how old would it be? You know, so those basic things. And then, you know, we go deeper when we actually realize, well, you know, that, for instance, in the root chakra, we have in a child that is 0 to 7 operating based on everything we've absorbed from our family, right? During that time, because that chakra is actually connected to the physical body and its development. And it's also connected to everything that your family was going through in that first 7 years of life that made you become who you are, you know, because that's the most unconscious part of us. And then as we start to explore deeper, we also realize that the root chakra is also connected to our sexuality, right? It's connected to our sexuality because that's where it is. That's, you know, it's like sometimes I have this very strange people saying to me, how could you say this? It's only connected to our tribe. And I'm like, but if you have sex, you know, using that part of the body, how could it not be? Like, we have to be logical people, right? We need to use our logic here. Interestingly, this prostitute archetype, which is like, you know, in the shadow, is all about our integrity or lack of integrity and money and how we might sell ourselves for money. And we sell ourselves not because we become a prostitute, you know, as a profession. We do it when we live with somebody where we live with them because of money, because they take care of us, but that relationship is toxic and is not, doesn't have any potential for growing, but we still stay in there, or we stay in a horrible job that we hate. You know, we continue doing things for our family when they keep hurting us, and it becomes very obvious that, you know, that they don't appreciate us. Like, there's so many reasons that, you know, that this, how this shadow affects us. And then we have the archetype that is the light side, which I call the divine lover of life, you know, that loves life, that is connected to the divine, that will go through whatever challenges you need to go through to keep your integrity intact, even if it's painful or difficult. And, you know, we'll also understand that in life, there are many colors. There's no such thing as black and white, you know, and we work through it and you know, we learn from things, or that's the idea. So, you know, we have these different archetypes to help us to understand things. And obviously the archetype to do with the prostitute cannot have, you know, cannot connect with us when we're really small children, because we don't know. So it makes sense that, you know, when we become more sexually active and when we start to think about our careers, this is the archetype that starts to have more of a say around that chakra. But they're both there, you know. And then we look at the sacral chakra, and now we're looking at the child that is between 7 and 14 years old. And this is also connected to the development of the etheric body. And I know we're going to do a podcast on the different energy bodies soon as well.
Yeah.
You know, you know, and then we, as we get to 14 to 21, it's connected to our solar plexus and our emotional body, our astral body. And then 21 to 28 is connected to our heart, and so on and so forth, you know, and each archetype is kind of like the protector at the gate of, you know, of this chakra, and both protects you and also helps you and also holds you back. So depending on the wounding and the stuckness during developmental stages, right? And this is again why eventually most people, if they really want to grow, need to do the type of inner child work that goes through each developmental stage, and making sure that you're helping that part of you that got stuck or stunted in that stage to grow.
I recently spoke to someone I hadn't spoken to in about a year, and we had a falling out, and it caused us to part ways. And when you were speaking of, you know, we try and communicate to this person, but it's like you're both talking to an alien, like both of you can't understand it. And it was so interesting to me, because in that time, we were both communicating, but not communicating. So we understood each other, but we parted ways, got together and had a very different conversation. So it was like that situation, that cycle, it needed that time in between for both of us to learn and grow, for us to be able to come back to that and resolve that and have a better conversation. And so sometimes I find that time is one of the best things that we can give ourselves when it comes to these things, unless it's something blatantly obvious, like you were talking about, like the miserable job or, you know, that anxiety that won't leave the body, then those are things that we need to look at right away. But sometimes things just need time to work themselves out, because we might not have the lesson, you know, we might not have learned it yet, and it eventually works itself out. So because of, you know, the work that you're doing and the stuff that I also study, I never worry about things like I used to, because I truly believe that, oh, it's just going to work itself out. Like there's got to be a way that there's, I'm going to learn something and something's going to shift. It's so fascinating. Is there anything else you want to add about this before we wrap up today?
I think at the beginning, when people are listening to it, it can sound confusing, you know, and you might go, I have no idea where to start this journey and know how to keep going with this. And I'm going to say that, you know, I actually wrote about archetypes in my book, Understanding Modern Spirituality. And I also talk about this in The Secret of Life Wellness. So if you just want to dive in a little bit, you might want to get both of the books or one of them. I also teach about this. And so depends on when someone watches this, you may have either an access to a masterclass that I've done on, it could be archetypes, ancestry and deeper healing, or it could be one on the inner child, or it could be any of the ones that I've done on Awaken the Healer Within. Most of them will have a small fee that just helps you to invest. I feel like when we don't invest, we very often just put things off and allow the saboteur and the procrastinator to take over. So there's a very small fee that helps us with all the editing and everything and website costs. And it also helps people to go, I'm choosing to do this. So again, depends whether, you know, you do it very soon or maybe you watch this because it'll be available for a while, I'm assuming for quite a while. There probably will be a small fee, and it just gives you an opportunity to invest a little bit and to have a few hours of your time to explore and to go through the process that I've talked about in a guided manner in detail. And then you might decide, hey, I really want to learn this and go deeper. And all of this is on my website, innersiegel.com. And you'll see there is a section and masterclasses there or mini workshops. So I really encourage people to start from any of those places and then explore, because this is a new way of healing. It's also a very old way, if we think of when Jung was doing this work. And it is a very profound way, probably one of the best ways to work with your mind, with your emotions, with your memories, with things that you don't remember that I've ever discovered. And I've tried so many ways to help people transform their emotional states. I really encourage people to, you know, to do it. It's very safe and it's very gentle. And I really believe that we have come to a place where we need gentle healing rather than forced healing that is pushing you to get your emotions out when you're not really ready to deal with them or to understand what they're about and what they're actually bringing with, you know, with themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for giving us a new lens on all of this stuff regarding emotions and archetypes. I think it was really helpful. It is a lot of information. And so I also encourage the audience to go to your website and check out your masterclasses, and the books are a huge help. They made me look at it in a new lens and it was very interesting. And the books really help with the self-reflection piece. And you're so good at the reflection pieces in there and inviting people to go back and reflect on themselves so that you can begin to work on these things. So the books and your classes, we'll make sure to link that in the show notes. So thank you so much for being here. It was so amazing talking to you, as always.
Thank you.
And to our audience, when you begin to understand these archetypes and these patterns and go deeper within you, you begin to shift your life. And so you move from reacting to responding and from feeling stuck to feeling empowered. And a lot of people I'm hearing are feeling stuck right now. If this episode resonated with you and you feel like someone that you know might benefit from this conversation, please send the episode to them. And again, Inna, thank you so much for bringing so much clarity and depth to something that we experience every day. Thanks again, everyone, for being here. Stay tuned for the next episode. Bye, everyone.